This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Well, happy Friday, everybody. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Great to be here with you on a Friday morning. It's about time. It's been a long week, certainly. Spectacularly unspectacular week of shows, I think, but that's to be expected after the gut-wrenching performance of our local baseball team. It was just a week ago today. We were all at Twitter, and everyone's excited and ready to get home and get it started. And it's been a week, man, for sure. But thanks for being here with us. Hopefully we've been able to make you smile, maybe make you understand a little bit. Make you mad, you know, that happens too, but sucks, man, sucks. Just watching the Mets last night, it's the worst playoff team I've ever seen in my life, ever, in the history of the playoffs. I've never seen a team less deserving to be there, just giving up. So maybe they can rally. My guess is not. Hawk Tua is not coming through. Grimace isn't coming through. Pete Alonso needs to take a bat to his pumpkin. Do whatever you have to do, but you guys suck. You suck. The Mets suck, period. You're the worst team I've ever seen. The worst team I've ever seen. You can't field, you can't hit, you can't throw, you can't pitch. You're terrible. So that's how I'd like to start the show today. You can tell I'm in a great mood. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel. He is the executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. Benjamin, how are you?
I'm feeling a lot of pressure now with the two of you in the, you know,
Moves.
Down in the dumps that I gotta bring everybody up. Paulie,
I'm not down, I'm mad.
I'm worried about Woods. You know, he texted us yesterday. He said, I'm feeling incapable of fun right now, and I hate it.
It's so true!
And I thought, oh, this is not good. We need fun Woods back. And I get there's a mourning period for Padres fans, and we're probably still in it. Like you said, it's only been one week.
Yeah.
You know, 1 week ago, you know, I was headed up to Dodger Stadium after the show.
Yeah.
Spirits were still high. You know,
nervous,
you felt like
but nervous,
but you still felt like, okay, this is a good team. They've bounced back from every setback all year long. They're gonna do it again today. I like Yu Darvish on the mound, and you felt good, and then it was just over, and we've been trying to cope with it all week.
And make sense of it a little bit. Yeah,
and,
stages
and it's hard,
of grief.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
No joy in my life.
Yeah, it's weird because I'm not in a, like, I'm not depressed or anything at home. I've been in a good mood. Like, we went to marriage counseling yesterday, and she's like, how's everything? We're like, it's pretty good, you know? Like, got some stuff that we're working through, you know, with just life, you know? But other than, like, I'm not being like a jerk or anything like that. Hannah's not at all. We're just, everything's good. But like when I was thinking yesterday, I was driving home going, we need to do something fun on the show. And I was trying to access the creative reservoir.
I texted you guys the exact same thing.
Yeah.
I texted you guys at, I don't know, 3-4 o'clock.
Yeah.
I said, we need something fun for tomorrow.
I got nothing.
And that's when you sent that text.
Yeah.
You're like, I have an inability to have fun right now.
That's what it is.
Yeah,
I'm incapable of it.
Yeah, not to make you know, light of real world tragedy and situation, but in a way, your sports team losing at the end of the season is like a death. It's something you cared about. It's something that is over. Like the 2024 Padres are over. They're never coming back.
Correct.
They're dead. The team as we knew it won't be the same in 2025. So there is an actual grieving and mourning period for it because you legitimately cared about that team.
Yeah.
You cared about how they did on a daily basis, you know, in ways like similar to you caring about your family. And again, I'm not trying to.
No, I get it. You don't have,
you know,
to
say that one, you know, it's nearly as important as real life or your family, but I promise you the emotions you were feeling during the season were very real. You invested a lot of your time and energy into it, and when it's gone like that, it's a real loss.
Yeah,
and that's the risk of being a sports fan. When you truly are invested, you risk real loss when your team goes out. And we're feeling that real loss this week.
I feel it's like a relationship, you know, and more so than a death. It's like being ghosted by you meet somebody and there's an instant spark and you get to know each other. And, you know, maybe the first few months, Ben, are really good. But there's some bad stuff, too. But there's some good stuff. And then you hit the halfway point of your relationship. And you don't know it's the halfway point. Like baseball, you know it's the halfway point. But in your relationship, you go, this is actually, it's actually going really well. And then things start to take off. And you're starting to look and you're telling your friends and your mom and dad, I think this is it. I think I've met the one. And your mom and dad say, yeah, be careful. You know, you've gotten burned before. You say, no, I really think this is it. As I look to the future and I look at all the pieces we have in our relationship, this is it, mom and dad. And then all of a sudden, 8 months in, 9 months in, she disappears. And you never hear from her again. You're just sitting there going, what just happened? You're not going to get over that quickly, you know? But, yeah, it's... It's a weird feeling. It's certainly a weird feeling. Like, you did feel like this was the one. And then you watch the Mets play and you go, yeah, this was definitely the one. You know, you were, if you watch the Mets play the last few nights, you go, yeah, you get the sense we would have bodied this team. Just bodied them. They look terrible.
Easy to say, but I tend to agree.
Yeah,
as
and
well.
It's not just us saying it. I've actually seen some Dodger fans go, whew. Dodged a bullet, man. Dodged a bullet. Credit to the Dodgers because they've played unbelievably since you know that sixth or third inning and in that game I was at two Tuesdays ago. I mean, they've played unbelievable baseball.
You get the sense that any knowledgeable baseball fan would tell you that NLDS series was for the pennant.
Yeah, yeah. That's what it should
and
have
that's
been.
That's what. Really sucks.
That's what really sucks. And it does, you know, I'm always the one that said, and trust me, I'm not saying this to like whine and cry about spilled milk. The reseed would have been pretty fun. Would have been pretty cool. You know, instead of, so you get the Dodgers and Padres for a longer, you know, 7-game series, which would have been insane. But if the Dodgers played like they played the last two games, who's beating those guys?
Yeah, I tend to think, yeah, even if that was just you're up 3-2 and there's still potentially two more games to go. Whatever happened, was it the Teoscar Grand Slam, whatever moment turned them around, they got going, and now they've been on a heater that's been, you know, like the Phillies last year. That's my one, like, saving grace here, that if you hope the Dodgers aren't going to win the World Series, maybe it turns off just like it did for the Phillies. Is they looked unstoppable.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, they just couldn't beat the Diamondbacks for three straight days, and it was over.
Yep.
Unless something like that happens, though, I tend to think that, you know, we're heading toward a Dodgers World Series title and one that only the Padres could have and probably should have prevented. And that really is going to sting.
Yeah.
When you don't have that to lord over them anymore. And, you know, it wasn't the Braves not getting the job done that you're mad about. It's not the Mets. It's not any other team.
It's your team
that had the best chance to stop them. The one that everyone else that hates the Dodgers, you know, was counting on. The Giants fans, the Diamondbacks fans that all didn't want the Dodgers to win, they were counting on the Padres to stop them. And the Padres didn't do it.
Carlos says, you can't say Padres would be up. Dodgers pitching is phenomenal. We mean, had we just won one out of the last two games, bro, we would be playing the Mets right now. And I think the Padres would have really, really pounded the Mets. But there's no way to tell. There's no way to tell. We could have made the Mets look really, really great, too. But, you know, there will come a point where it's like, all right, we're done with this crap. Let's move forward. We got a season. I'm not quite there yet. And being the sadist that I am, I'm still watching every single pitch of the Dodgers Mets. Watched the whole game last night. Actually, no, I didn't. I turned it off. What was it when it was like 10-2? What was the final?
10-2.
Yeah, I turned it off when they reached 10. I got a new episode of this brilliant show that's out. I just told you guys about it, Disclosure, and it popped up like, hey, new episode. So I go, all right, I'm gonna watch this. It's really, really good. Cate Blanchett. Whew, mama, I'm telling you. Whew. Man.
Disclaimer.
Disclaimer. It's on Apple TV.
It's a Disclosure.
It's Disclaimer. Disclosure is a movie with Demi Moore and Michael Douglas, where she sexually harasses him,
ooh,
which is a flip on what normally happens. It's normally the men who are the disgusting pigs. And in this case, Demi Moore goes after Michael Douglas. Have you ever seen Disclosure?
I don't think so.
Very saucy movie from the, I want to say the 90s. Very good movie. Very, very well done. But he's like, hey, hey, easy. And she's like, no, no, I want a taste, and you're going to give it to me. Now, I think a lot of men are sitting there going, well, hey, who wouldn't like that?
Disclosure is a 1994 American erotic thriller film.
Why do I feel like a massive pervert since Paulie just said it's an erotic thriller? It's really good. So Disclaimer is, again, it's on Apple TV. Cate Blanchett, Kevin Kline, who's brilliant, brilliant in this, and a woman that plays a young Cate Blanchett. Don't know who she is, but I would like to look her up. She's very, very good at her job. And she got me last night real good. So I made the decision to turn the game off to watch that. There's like four or five episodes out right now. It's a really brilliant show. Whew, man, just thinking about that one scene. You'll know when you see it. You'll know exactly what
See, I'm now, the show about. I've been watching is not erotic at all.
What is it?
I've been watching The Penguin, which I think is actually really, really good. With Colin Farrell, it's outstanding. No, I promise
Where's
you.
Commissioner Gordon?
It's actually really, really good. And it doesn't sound quite like that.
It's like the least erotic show ever, maybe? The Penguin?
The Penguin.
I have seen him in the I have seen him in the Penguin getup. It's incredible.
It's amazing. The transformation is amazing.
Because he's literally one of the best-looking human beings on the planet. Colin Farrell, man crush, the whole thing. I would do a Kike Hernandez celebration with Colin Farrell. I just have always loved him. I've always thought he was the coolest guy. So sharp. And then they put him in all this makeup. He also said it was one of the worst experiences of his life, having to do
I've got to imagine. Every single day, like on set, getting into that getup and into that character. But it is a really good show. I think they're four episodes in now, and I'm like, oh, now I can't wait until the next one comes out.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. So I'm there's some good stuff out there if you don't want to watch baseball, but I'm not quite done. I said to my wife this morning as I was walking out, I said, well, you know, there's two more games tonight. And she just goes, she gave me the Adam Klug sigh. She goes, yeah, sorry. I'm going to be watching both of them. Nothing I can do about it. But we were treated yesterday to perhaps a top three playoff game in the history of playoff games. I can't, I'm off the top of my head, I can't think of one better because it's recency bias. But oh my God, dude, I have never, ever seen anything like what I saw yesterday that went down in Cleveland. And we will talk about that this morning, certainly, because it was outstanding.
Incredible.
Go watch Disclosure, though. And we'll, if you're a man, just watch it alone.
We will set the menu.
And disclaimer, sorry. Also, Disclosure is fine, too.
Yeah.
You can watch them both. They're both erotic, Paulie.
Erotic thriller films.
If you want erotic thrillers, then watch Disclosure and Disclaimer. Okay? Don't watch it with your kids, I'll tell you that. Or, like, with your parents.
Which one's worse? Parents, right?
Oh, parents is
parents
way worse.
For sure.
Yeah, you can explain it away. Oh, them? Oh, they're just having fun.
It's the child who feels the most awkward in that situation, I think, when they're watching something like that with their parents.
Yeah, it's funny because you do the thing to your kids where, like, if there's boobs on the TV or something, you're like, don't look over there, and they get all embarrassed or whatever. Like, we were watching something recent, was on, and there was a naked scene, and I like looked at Bo, I was like, don't be looking at that, and he gets so red. I'm like, uh-oh, turn that off. But
I think I've told you before, this is probably 10 years ago now, whenever Wolf of Wall Street was out in theaters.
Oh my God.
I had a buddy text me from Idaho, and he goes, hey, have you seen Wolf of Wall Street? It'd probably been out for like a week or two, maybe even longer. And I go, oh yeah.
So good.
Yeah, I've seen it. He goes, Margot Robbie? I'm like,
oh
yeah.
My Lord.
Oh,
Jesus.
Yeah. He goes, yeah, I went and saw that with my mom and dad in theaters. I go, oh no. Oh no.
Oh,
no,
dude,
no, no,
so,
no, no.
You know what scene that Paulie's talking about, and holy smokes.
I mean, there's
like four
scenes.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember. I couldn't tell you the last time I went to a theater with my parents.
It's been a long time.
It's been a long time. I mean, probably pre 12 years old was probably the last time I went to a movie with my parents. So
it's amazing.
I haven't been to a movie theater in general since before the pandemic.
I took Bo to see Top Gun 2, and we made it 30 minutes. So that was cool. Like father, like son.
All right, we'll set the menu for a Friday edition of Men in Woods when we come back. Hopefully we can get Woods to rediscover fun at some point in the next 4 hours.
Looking for fun in all the wrong places.
Do you need me to read a fake promo or something?
Maybe.
Something to cheer you up. I would like you to rediscover your fun.
We had a funny promo yesterday.
Your promo yesterday was really good.
We can play that when we come back before we set the menu. With Men in Woods, Kelly's got traffic here on a Friday on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So, after the show every single day, we have to record essentially like a 12-second promo for the next day's show. I'm sure you hear them play during the day.
Coming up on Friday, we'll have our pal Jordan Schusterman joining us at 8:35.
It's the simplest, easiest task you could imagine, and also somehow the most difficult thing that we've ever done in our lives.
It's also one of the things like... Everybody has things they look forward to every day, and everyone has things that they dread. I don't know why I dread it. It's 8 seconds. It should be moronically easy. The fact that we have to trudge back there and do it is one of those things where I'm like,
It's a 15-second promo, but the first 3 seconds are...
Ben and Woods on the Fan.
All right, that eats up some of it.
Right.
7 to 8 seconds of talking. And then it ends with...
Listen to Ben and Woods weekdays from 6 to 10 on 97.3 The Fan.
And we got to fill just the in-between part of that with something every day.
Yeah. Do you have the raw or do you just have the edit?
I just have the edit.
The edit. The raw was...
But like you hear it in our Friday open, that started with a promo from a Thursday after a show.
Yep.
Hey, coming up on Friday.
Coming up on a Friday.
Save that.
That was one of the days.
That our Friday open.
That was our Friday. Yeah, we just were trying to get one done on a Thursday, and Ben says coming up on a Friday. Meant to obviously say Friar Friday, but you said Friday, and it's always made me laugh every time. Yesterday was also, I would say it's in the consideration for a Hall of Famer because I laughed so hard.
Well, it's very difficult. All right, we've just been on the air for 4 hours.
Yes.
It's very difficult to be dynamic for 8 seconds,
it's just true in
a normal circumstance. Plus, we're talking about a show tomorrow that we don't know what we're talking about tomorrow.
Like the second we leave this studio at 9:56,
we're going to talk about something that hasn't happened yet.
It's the worst part of it.
You know what would have been a great promo yesterday? Hey, coming up on the show tomorrow, we're going to talk about that insane game between the Guardians and the Yankees. Right. But we can't because it hasn't happened yet. So we don't know.
I had a boss in radio. He's not here anymore. Like, he's alive, but he's not here anymore.
He's no longer with us.
And he would do the thing where he's like, hey, you know, I noticed that you do your show and then you leave. And I go, yeah. And what do you want me to do? And he's like, well, you really should be show prepping. I go, nothing's happened. What do you want me to prep? Like, what do you want eyewash? You want me sitting around here shuffling papers around? My life is on the air. And I can't live my life if I'm sitting in here pretending to work. We used to bang heads about it.
Yeah, the wedding I was at last week talking to some friends, and they're like, oh, so like, when you get off the air, like, then what do you do around the radio? I'm like, I go home. They're like, then you just work from home? Like,
yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like you're working all day. I'm like, we do a sports show. We can't get ready for a show until the sports happen.
You got to see sports, you know, whatever. Unless something major, right? Something breaks at the end of our show, then we can go in and go, oh, my God, coming up tomorrow, we'll talk about that bombshell Ken Rosenthal article, right? But nothing's happened.
You know, when the Padres would make a big signing at 10:01,
yes.
We can preview that. But
yeah, 100%.
Nothing happened yesterday, so.
Yes, so yesterday's promo was, you know, a bit of a grind because we're like, all right, well, what do we got? So here's what
Ben and Woods on the Fan
coming up on Friday. I don't know about you guys, but I'm ready to get loose on a Friday, have some fun.
We'll still talk some baseball too, with the playoffs continuing.
Listen to Ben and Woods weekdays from 6 to 10 on 97.3
The
Fan.
I was begging to have some fun.
You were,
and now I am having some fun.
We will talk about the playoffs continuing. Talk some baseball too, with the playoffs continuing. There's nothing dynamic about talking about something continuing.
But it was the fact that you sound like you were sipping on rum the whole show and then decided to go in and do a promo.
Honestly, I'm ready to get loose on a Friday. Have some fun.
We'll still talk some baseball, too, with the playoffs continuing.
I heard it coming out of my mouth, and just like it depressed me, like how how bad and uninteresting it sounded. And that's what I was like, oh, no. That's
continuing.
Just, this is bad. It's just bad.
And then he goes, this sucks.
That sucks.
That sucked.
Like, one more time.
Ben and Woods on the Fan.
Coming up on Friday. I don't know about you guys, but I'm ready to get loose on a Friday. Have some fun.
We'll still talk some baseball, too, with the playoffs continuing.
That sucks.
Listen to Ben and Woods weekdays from 6 to 10 on 97.3 The Fan.
I did need that, man. I did need
like,
that.
And you guys are ready to do it again. I'm like, that's actually really funny. Let's just
roll with it, dude. That was great.
All right, well, we've already come through with your half of the promo because this is getting loose on a Friday. We're
like
now officially getting loose on a Friday. And we will actually talk about the baseball playoffs continuing coming up in our next segment, actually. I want to get to it quickly today because, well, it was as good of a playoff game as you're going to see. I mean, you can split hairs about which playoff games are your favorite.
Oh,
that was
God.
An unbelievable game. We've collected some calls, English, Spanish, of some of the unbelievable back and forth between the Yankees and Guardians yesterday. So I want to get into that game. And then we will talk some Padres as well. We discussed the starting rotation. We will also talk about the bullpen now today, which is in fairly good shape. You know, it's not going to look exactly the same as it did last year, but I would say going into 2025 in a much better spot than it was going into 2024.
I would say it's a strength.
It's one reason for optimism, actually, next year is what they have coming back in the bullpen. So we'll do that. Take on Woods at 7:10. Don't do this at 7:20. At 8 o'clock, Jordan Schusterman will be with us to talk playoffs from Cespedes Family Barbecue and Yahoo Sports as we continue our weekly conversations there. We'll also talk some contract extensions. We discussed Luis Arraez yesterday. No, I'm fine.
Get that wrong again?
No, I'm good. We discussed Luis Arraez after his surgery and what a contract extension might look like for him. What about Michael King? What about Dylan Cease? Are we really fine with the Padres not re-signing Dylan Cease? We kind of went down that path yesterday, but you don't generally get Dylan Cease's in your organization and just say goodbye to them without exploring every avenue of trying to keep them. So how could the Padres structure deals to try to keep those guys in the fold long term?
Yeah, and I want to hear from the junior GMs out there as well today. We'll probably rip some calls, hear from you guys on kind of how you're feeling a week later and what you know, because at some point, I know AJ Preller and I know the ownership, that they're not sitting around with their feet up.
Morning, guys.
Morning. Bummed out about what went on. They're bummed. There's no doubt. It stings, but there's also a season that's coming, and you have to have a complete roster, and you have a payroll you got to figure out, and there's really no off days for those guys, and they probably took the week to decompress a little bit, but you got to imagine they're going to be soon. But I want to hear from you guys out there on what you think they need to do this year, and you know, we'll talk about kind of where we stand.
Rondo Report. I've got my super sexy Saturday college football lineup for you in our 9 o'clock hour as well. It's an erotic thriller.
Yes,
actually.
Yes, it is.
And then we'll turn things over to Annie and Elston at 10 o'clock. So there is your menu. We'll come back. What a game it was last night.
Oh,
it's the kind of game
God.
That we wish the Padres were still playing this week, honestly. Didn't happen, but it happened for the Guardians yesterday. Will it turn around their series as well? They're still down 2-1. Talk about that when we come back with Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. You don't really see the great games necessarily coming. Sometimes you're set up and you know, hey, it's a game seven, two really great teams, two terrific pitchers going at it, and you anticipate greatness. But last night in Cleveland, even into the eighth inning, there was really not a huge sign that that was going to be an all-time great game. The Guardians were up 3-1, correct, going into the top of the eighth inning.
Correct.
It was, for all intents and purposes, just another normal playoff game. Maybe one that gets Cleveland back in the series. You know, they hold serve at home for a game, see if they have a chance to tie things up. And then in the last three innings, absolute bedlam.
Beyond. I can't imagine. I mean, I was at the game last Tuesday where, you know, Padres broke out for six runs and it was just insane. Teoscar answers at 6-5. And then you sat through six innings of the most excruciating baseball of your entire life. It was excruciating to be at that game. I stared at the concrete most of the night, had my hoodie on. It was awful. You think about the Guardian fans last night and the range of emotions that they went through blowing that lead, you know, to Aaron Judge with their all-world closer, Emmanuel Clase, on the bump. Giancarlo Stanton coming through and giving them the lead, Ben, was unbelievable theater.
All right, we will get into what happened yesterday in the American League Championship Series. First, a quick check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. So, yeah, the eighth inning yesterday, Yankees are getting, you know, kind of desperate. It's 3-1, but they know they've got their big boppers coming up, and they get, I forget, how did they get a runner on in front of Aaron Judge?
Juan Soto walked.
Amazing. What a shocking development that Juan Soto walks and gives Judge a chance. So if you're a Yankees fan, this is what you're hoping for. But he's going to have to face, generally considered to be, the game's nastiest pitcher. At least nastiest relief pitcher.
Five earned runs in all of 20.
But did give up that home run, you know, earlier in the postseason. So who knows? I mean, you've got a hope, at least, that Aaron Judge runs into one. So Judge against Emmanuel Clase. And when the ball left the bat, I mean, I knew it was hit hard, but it didn't look like home run height. Let's just say that. I'm curious to hear, because we have John Sterling's call, and I haven't heard it yet. So this was John Sterling, voice of the Yankees in the eighth inning.
I have the
TV call?
No. Don't have the Judge call.
Oh, I thought you did have the Judge call.
I told you, I have Noel.
Oh, you have the Sterling calls of the sad.
Yes, okay.
All right, so.
I could find happy John Sterling.
Hits the line drive. We don't have to find it. Maybe we'll find it later. I didn't think it was going out. I thought it was hit hard, but that was one of those base of the wall, yeah, you know, type shots.
By the way, a 99 mile an hour cutter on the black away. And Aaron Judge, again, Stephen Vogt, Guardians manager, said this after the game, I think there's one person that could hit that pitch off of Emmanuel Clase out of the yard, and he did. As a baseball fan, it was really cool. As the opposing manager, it was not. I love Stephen Vogt. What a year he's had in his first season as a big league manager. I mean, it was classic. And game's tied. And so you're sitting there. Clase looks stunned. The Guardians fans look devastated. Devastated. They're panning to the crowd, and it's just a look of disbelief.
And the 1-2 swung on and drilled to right field. That ball is going to be gone.
Yeah, surprise.
It was a line drive, and it went over the right field fence. It's a Judgian blast. The Yankee dugout goes nuts. They're all on the field.
Yeah, actually, that wasn't a Judgian blast.
It wasn't. It was
Judgian rope.
And I'm not surprised the call was like that. John Sterling didn't do anything wrong. He looked at it and goes, oh, that was hit hard, but didn't have the sense that it would be a home run. So yeah, they go bonkers. They're on the field. Before you've even really finished celebrating, though, you know, Giancarlo Stanton then comes up, and he has been, I don't know what it is about the playoffs and Giancarlo Stanton. He and Kike Hernandez must just have something, some sort of regimen that works in October and not the rest of the year necessarily. He follows, you know, got Clase on the ropes and gives the Yankees a 4-3 lead. They add an insurance run then to take a 5-3 lead. So go to the bottom of the ninth inning. The Guardians get the lead runner on, but then hit into a double play. Naylor grounds into a double play. So two outs, nobody on. And they're down to their last strike with Lane Thomas at the plate. And he actually does get a hold of one. That one looked like it might be a home run. Hits off the very top of the high wall out in left field. Doesn't matter. They just needed a base runner in any way to keep the game going. So he doubles. So now you do have the tying run coming to the plate, but it's Junkenzie Noel, who is, I believe, a rookie, right?
He is.
It's a rookie. Has not homered since late August, I think. Was it like August 26th was his last home run?
23-year-old. He's hit 13 homers and massive struggles. I mean, massive struggles. He's a rookie.
He's facing Luke Weaver, yep, who's been really solid for the Yankees after they put him in the closer's role a few weeks ago. Really, really good. with the game on the line, and I think you said it as well. One of the best radio calls. You want to do TV first, radio? What order do we want to go?
TV first.
We'll do TV. They were all good, but this is the TV
is it
call.
Brian Anderson?
Yeah, Brian Anderson.
Brian Anderson was the...
He's elite, too.
Oh, my goodness! Big Christmas has tied it! The ultimate present under the tree! Oh, my goodness!
Change up. And when he hit it, you knew it. Everybody knew it. It is the dream of every person that's ever played baseball to be called upon to pinch hit, to tie the game, win the game, whatever, and get a changeup right in the middle of the plate. And he was absolutely on time for it, and he didn't miss it, man. He did not miss it.
Big Christmas is an elite nickname.
Oh yeah, Big Christmas is
for
elite.
A guy named Noel.
Yeah,
had that recoil bat flip, the one where you just flip the wrist back and it's just gone.
Yeah,
Bill in the chat says, "Great call, Big Christmas Noel." Reminds me of Padres Franmil Reyes.
Yeah, the Franimal.
A little bit, the Franimal.
Yeah, there's a similarity there. The violent swing, man, is just it's just so perfect, and you could throw any of us that pitch 100 times, nobody's hitting it out of the infield. I mean, just like he was just right on time for it, bodied it, barreled it, sent it into the stands, and the place went nuts. Now, you still have to win that game. You know, the Yankees are still a really good team, and you still have to figure out a way to win that game, but we cannot pass without playing the radio call. Tom Hamilton, the legend.
Very long time. Long time radio announcer for the Guardians.
Holy smokes.
Swing!
Unbelievable, man.
I mean, the joy in that moment when you feel like it's
swing out and hammer high, deep to left, away out of here.
So good.
Makes me smile.
I got chills watching it, listening to it. I was watching it with my kids. Bo was just like, "You got to be kidding me." I go, that is absolutely electric.
But it may not have even been the best call. We do have the Spanish language call of that one by Jean-Kenzie Noel as well.
Feliz Navidad!
Feliz Navidad!
Feliz Navidad! Acaba de empatar el encuentro la Navidad en octubre! ¡Qué bárbaro! ¡Qué monstruo!
So then you go to the 10th inning, and you have to, again, what a moment. But now that you've tied it, you're like, we can't let this one slip away.
Yeah.
We have to win this game. Yankees immediately come back and threaten. And Andrés Giménez turns in one of the best plays I've ever seen. Ball hit to his left. He goes up the middle, and he's got a pivot and throw. He ends up flat on his back out in right field and makes a throw to Josh Naylor, of all people, who has been much maligned by Guardians fans, by the national media. I mean, he swings at literally everything that comes close to the plate. He's the one that hit into the double play the inning before, Ben. He turned in a play that we've watched 50 times, like there's a Zapruder film. Did he hold his foot? Did he not? Turns out he did.
He scraped it along the top, right as he was making the catch, which there was a runner on that advanced to second. This is all with former Padre Pedro Avila on the mound, the guy who was like the 13th pitcher for the Padres in 2023. Is now in the highest of high leverage situations for the Guardians. Struck out Judge to start the inning.
Yeah.
Walk Stanton. That great play by Giménez. And then they intentionally walk Anthony Rizzo.
Yep.
And he strikes out Volpe.
Yep.
To end the inning. So, you
walks
know,
off the mound. Like
Pedro Avila now in line maybe to get a win.
To get a win.
The biggest game he's ever pitched in his career. And they go to the bottom of the 10th. Bo Naylor singles.
Which is crazy in its own right. Bo Naylor's not hitting at all. They have a bunch of catchers that don't hit.
They sacrifice him over to second.
Yep.
And then on a comebacker, he moves to third. But now there's two outs, so you can't score on a fly ball. You've got to get a hit somewhere. And it's David Fry, who's already had some postseason heroics already for the Guardians, in against Clay Holmes And here's what it sounded like.
Fry, deep drive, left field. Fry's watching. It is a walk-off home run. David Fry lights up the Cleveland night.
Incredible. Literally lit it up. They had a lot of fireworks and everything that went off after that game. But, you know, season saving, at least temporarily season saving. You go down 3-0. It's about, you know, as close to elimination as possible. Yeah. So what an absolutely incredible moment for the Guardians, for David Fry, for John Kenzie Noel. What else do we have, Paulie, on the the walk-off?
We both of
the
other ones. Hamilton yeah, all right,
let's hear Tom Hamilton.
Swing on, hit high, hit deep to left. There she goes. How about that? A walk-off two-run home run to the bleachers in left by David Fry. And the magical 2024 season is not done by any means.
Guessing John Sterling's call was a little bit
not as happy.
Here, 1-2 to Fry. Pitch swung on, a high fly to deep left. Verdugo back on the track at the wall. She's gone. A two-run home run to win the game for Cleveland. They're back in it. So David Fry hits one over the high wall in left, and the Indians win the game in 10-7-5. In what is really, win or lose, a fantastic game. Absolutely fantastic.
That's a great call.
Great call.
Other than the fact he called them the Indians. But
he's not the only one.
He is like 80-something years old.
I saw David
Poppy.
I'll
give him a little pass.
David Poppy. Big Poppy, David Ortiz, called them the Indians like 7 times in a row yesterday as they were previewing that game. But it's, you know... It's why I don't stop watching baseball when my favorite team's not in it. You know, it's that is the reason. Now, I'm a fan of playoffs in most other sports. Nothing comes close to that for me, at least. The NFL playoffs, the NBA playoffs, hockey's pretty interesting if you have a favorite team. It's also excruciating, but that to me is just, you're down to your last strike and you're out of it, man. You're done. And now they have life. There was a video that a guy posted. He was like, I think, 5 blocks away or something from what do they call
Progressive
it?
Progressive Field.
Yeah, he's called the Jake. Progressive Field, and he's on a rooftop, and he takes the video, and it shows you just kind of hear the din of the crowd, and then you can hear in the distance, and then you hear, and then you hear even more, and then the fireworks go off, and I showed it to Hannah, and she goes, I'm so jealous. I go, I know. I am so stinking jealous of what they got to live through last night.
It's, I love all the playoffs, but you're right in that baseball has those crowd galvanizing moments that they don't come as often in a football or a basketball game. In the basketball game, you need basically a buzzer beating 3. Or, you know, a huge shot in the last minute for that to happen, which is amazing.
When that happens.
Football is excruciating in that it's one game.
Yes, yeah, that's the worst part.
And you spend all week thinking about
one game.
One game.
It's
like
a game seven. It'll probably come down to a drive for one team or the other. So it's incredibly entertaining, but again, I don't think you can recreate moments like that in baseball. They don't come in every game, obviously.
Right. You're going to get your Hail Marys. You're going to get your... The thing about football, too, I always feel like there's always some huge penalty that turns the tide. And you're like, all right, so you got a call there. Now what can you do with it? So it's just different, man. I mean, you know, again, talking about Luke Weaver and Emmanuel Clase, two of the best to do it right now, both serving it up. You know, both serving it up yesterday, and it was staggering. Clase was in his feelings. Did you see what he did after the game? I think he might have had a few beers because that dude put on every single ring he has from, like, his awards that he's won, and he's, like, Instagramming his hand with all his rings and all his awards of, like...
Some really big, I'm still good energy going on
something
here.
Something, it was like, see, I guess people were ripping him or something, but he was like, see, I'm not done yet. Where's our Ben and Woods best of awards, Paulie? I'm gonna use those if people start being mean.
Before we wrap this up, though, we still have the Spanish call of the walk-off. I don't know how they could top the John Kenzie Noel, but let's let's finish with the Spanish language Guardians.
It's a good
broadcast.
One. Not as much singing,
yeah.
But it's still a great one.
Que batea el largo, el batazo por la jardín izquierdo. Esa pelota se va y se fue de cuadrangular. David Fry una vez más tomando control. Dice boom.
Dice que he said boom and it was over. I thought Aaron Boone as well. You talked about Stephen Vogt. He had
you said the same thing.
He had pretty much the same thing. Like it obviously stings to lose, but we just played in one of the great postseason games, and I think that's the way you have to approach that. If you're the Yankees, you're still up 2-1.
Yeah, you can't get on like, your press conference and be like,
I'm going like, hey guys, they needed
a
magic to beat us. Let's just go out and get the job done today. That was fun for them. You know, hopefully it'll be fun for us looking back. We got to play in one of those games, but
well,
now
Aaron
it's
Boone
just,
too. Him in particular. Can't think of any other manager currently in baseball that hit a walk-off postseason.
Yes.
He knows what it's like. He's been on both sides now.
You can't really rip either manager, you know, at all because, like, for Boone, stop running the bases like drunks. They had another guy picked off yesterday. It just they're killing themselves with errors too. Rizzo had two errors, so they got to clean it up.
All right, we'll come back. I want to talk some Padres bullpen and more. Take on Woods next year on 97.3 The Fan.